Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
There, and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm your host, Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I really hope you're going to be able to stick around for the entire show. This week, we're going to focus on the Mass readings for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're getting very, very close to the end of the liturgical or the church year, and this week, the focus is going to be love God and love people. That's it. That's the command from Jesus. You know, does this come as a surprise to anyone? We've heard this before. But that message, I think it's so familiar, and we've heard it so many times, that there's a danger of looking at it. There's actually two dangers. The one is, like, we reply by saying, yeah, I know that. And then we move on because it's so familiar. The other danger, and I think this might even be a more real danger, is we look at that, loving God and loving people or loving others. What exactly does that mean? You know, sometimes we, even if we take it seriously, we don't know exactly how to put it into practice. We'll talk a little bit about that today and try to fill in some of the gaps and talk about what it means to love God and love people. And Jesus is really clear. When you hear this gospel today, he's really clear. And, you know, when I was preparing for the show and looking over these readings, I was a little uncomfortable. And I think that, and I really think that's a good thing. Because I don't know about you, but it's very easy for me to, even though I don't do it unintentionally all the time, to hear some of these tougher messages of Jesus. Because this is a tough message. I mean, no matter how you look at it, this is a difficult message to put into practice. And so the tendency is sometimes to hear these tough messages and either water them down or just say, you know, this is so tough. There are just some people I can't love, that I ignore the message. You know, and we got to be careful that we don't do that. And I consider it a great blessing to be able to share this with you. And I'll tell you why, for two reasons. Number one, because I get to share the good news with you. We talk a little bit about it on this program. But the other reason is by me having to look at the readings and to discuss them with you and to ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me, I get hit with the message too. And it makes me really take it seriously. Not that I wouldn't otherwise, but there's something about talking about these and really digging into these Mass readings, as we do each week on the program, that really registers with me and makes me realize how far I fall short of the mark so many times. And you know what? For all of us, that's not a bad thing. Because if you're listening to me right now, you're alive, which means it's not too late for you. And right now, as I'm recording this program, I'm alive too, which means it's not too late for me. And that's the key for us as Christians, to follow Jesus one day at a time, but it's really 1 minute at a time, one present moment at a time. And to do or to respond to his call every day. You know, not putting it off into the future, saying, you know, one of these days I got to get my act together and become a good person. That's something that that I have done many times. I have a tendency to procrastinate because it's easier. You know, it's a whole lot harder. And I don't want to say too much before we actually start the program, but I'll just say this. Every morning I sit down and I say my prayers. I read some scripture. I talk to the Lord. And then my wife will come out and join me, and we'll pray together. Then we'll go to Mass. But as I sit in my chair and I pray and I hear the Lord speak to me and I make all these resolutions, it's a whole lot easier to love God than when I get my clothes on and get out of the house and start dealing with people for real. Then loving Him becomes more difficult. Why? Because it's challenging and oftentimes humbling and frustrating to deal with other people. But that's the way the Lord wants it. And it just because I find it easier to stay away from people. I mean, look, if for all of us, it's easier to be a Christian, at least in our own minds, when we don't have to deal with people, because then we don't have anybody making it difficult for us. But that's a false sense of Christianity, because that's what our Lord's saying. Yeah, love God, but that needs to lead into a love of people as well, because that's what He does and that's what He expects from us. So let's talk about that today. But before we do, as we do each week, let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Let's chat a little bit with Him. And I'm going to ask Him to give me the words for this program. And then I'm going to ask that He opens all of our hearts and minds so that we really take seriously what He has to say and be willing to put it into action. So if you'll join me, here we go. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, once again, it's a privilege to be able to be in your presence, to be able to read these readings, to be able to hear from you through sacred scripture. Father, you know, as I said at the start of the show, it's challenging when we have to love other people. It's much, much easier to love them in our minds. Sometimes even that's hard, but it's easier to love other people in our minds without actually doing anything. But we know that's not the way you want it, Father. And that's why you gave us the Holy Spirit to allow us to be able to pour out the love to others that you give to us. Thank you, Father, for that gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us this day. Thank you for providing for all of our needs from the instant that we were first conceived right up until the present time. Thank you, because if you had not done that, we would not exist today. So we're grateful for that. And we believe, Father, that you'll continue to provide for us. And we ask you to give us what we need, both spiritually and materially. And give us the grace, Father, to draw closer to you and to avoid committing any sin. That's our desire, Father. I ask you to use me as your instrument today, Father, to give me the words for this program and to open all of our hearts and minds to be receptive to the words that you deliver through me on this show. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and you are listening to The Gary Zimek Show. If you are a new listener, welcome. I always have a chair for you at the table. I'm glad you can join me, whether it's via the podcast or whether you're listening on one of the many Catholic radio stations around the country who carries the program. I am grateful to have you as a listener. I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm grateful for your positive emails and messages of support. And I'm grateful for your financial contributions. You're the reason that I am still here. It has been a pretty challenging year and a half due to the pandemic. But thanks be to God, I am starting to get back out on the road again. And as this show airs this weekend, I'm going to be heading down to the Mobile, Alabama area to speak at a conference, the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women's Conference. It's going to be held in Orange Beach, Alabama. And then from there, I'm going to be heading on over to Fairhope, Alabama to speak at St. Lawrence Parish. Now, I want to let you know, and that's going to be a give up worry for good talk. If you want to check out my schedule. I may be coming to your area soon. So my schedule is posted. And as I said, it's just starting to come back to life now after COVID. Man, everything was shut down. I had talks canceled midway through Lent of 2020. So I spoke at a few, I've had a few engagements this year so far, but it's been slow, but it's starting to look better. November's going to be busy. And then Lent is very busy. Followingthetruth.com is my website. If you go to schedule on the website, you'll see every place that I'm currently scheduled to speak. And hopefully if I'm in your area, you can swing by and we can meet one another. Speaking of the website, I had a very interesting experience. It was unpleasant. It was a little scary, but I think we're back on track now. Something crazy happened with my website, and even the guy who put it up for me originally wasn't able to diagnose it. So what we ended up doing is switching to a different theme. I'm not going to go into all the technical details, but the website looks slightly different now, and I'm probably going to do a redesign at some point in the future. But you know, I haven't done it in years, but I spent 30 years in the software industry, and one of the things that I have learned is you don't take on any major design projects unless you have the time to work through all the things that could possibly go wrong. Because anytime you upgrade or you know change something with software, there's always that potential that everything will blow up. And right now, with November being so busy, I'm not really anxious to take on a project like that. But head on over to followingthetruth.com for more information about my work. Or if you want to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, you can do that through the website as well. Or while you're there, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, or pick up a copy of my latest book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. That's at followingthetruth.com. All right, let me take a sip of my water, then we'll talk about these readings. So as I said, this is the readings we're going to look at this week are for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. I can't believe I'm saying this, but to put it into perspective, there are 33 weeks in Ordinary Time. This is the 31st week. So we are very close to the end of the church year. Now, to make it a little bit better, or to make it a little less painful, if you're shocked that we're about to head into Advent, which, you know, we're not that far away. The 34th, there's another Sunday, there's the 34th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's the Solemnity of Christ the King. So there are actually 34 Sundays in the church year, and then we go into Advent. So we're just a few weeks away from heading into the Advent season, which is the beginning of a new liturgical year. I mentioned this on the show. I'm going to say it one more time. Maybe I'll say it two more times. I don't know. You're going to hear some sort of ominous sounding readings over the next couple of weeks, both at daily mass and on Sundays. End times type, you know, wake up, stay awake, be ready messages. I think you'll hear that during the first week of Advent also. What the church is trying to do is remind us, and this is a good time as the church year comes to an end and the new one is about to begin, a reminder that our time on earth isn't permanent. We're here for a limited time, and we want to make sure that we don't waste time. We want to make sure that we make the best use of every day that the Lord gives us so that we can really look into ourselves and make changes when necessary. So that either when, and you know, look, you don't need me to tell you we're all going to die one day. And you don't need me to tell you that the Lord Jesus will come again in glory one day as well. So these two things, the second coming and our own death and judgment, that's going to happen too. They're inevitable. They are going to happen. So we might as well be ready. You know, if you live every day like it's your last, one of these days you are going to be right. And then everything will be fine. I tell people all the time, look forward to heaven. And expect to get there. All you need to do is make sure you're trying your best to follow Jesus. And that means when you mess up, you go to confession. You do whatever you can to get the grace you need to follow Jesus and to live the life he would like you to live. As long as you do that, you know, nobody's perfect except Jesus. And the Blessed Mother never committed a sin as well. But you and me, we're not perfect. We're sinners. We are. And that doesn't mean we can't get to heaven. By virtue of what Christ did on the cross and the grace that flows out of that sacrifice and on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, you and I can live in heaven forever. And that's what's expected of us. So don't get hung up on thinking you're not good enough. None of us are good enough. And that's why the Lord did what he did on Calvary and gives us his Holy Spirit. You know, so don't let these messages upset you. Look at them as a reminder or a wake-up call, which we all need. We all need to be shaken up sometimes. Okay, the gospel. I'm going to start with the gospel, as I always do. It's from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. You know, when this scribe, this individual came to Jesus and asked him, and he's one of the religious folks, he's one of the leaders, the religious leaders of the time. He asked Jesus, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus quoted something you're going to hear in the first reading for the book of Deuteronomy. "The Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." In other words, you cannot have any idols. And yourself, you can be an idol. Other people can be idols. Comfort can be an idol. Money can be an idol. Television can be an idol. Recognition. I mean, all of these things. Anything in life that's more important than God to you is an idol. And a lot of times, I mean, most of us don't have golden calves in our house, or at least I hope you don't, but we tend to put other people and other things in a higher place in our life sometimes. I mean, you know, not all the time, but sometimes, than God. Even look, I speak a lot about overcoming worry. If you're somebody who worries excessively without praying, well, you're putting yourself, when you do that, when you start to think that, well, this is all up to me and I'm going to panic because I don't think I can handle this problem. Sometimes unintentionally, what you're doing is putting yourself in a higher position than God, because you're saying, if I don't do this, if I don't provide for my needs, if I don't take care of this problem, then it's going to be disastrous. Instead of turning to God first and saying, "Lord, can you please help me with this problem?" And then doing what you can. You know, that's the way it should look. But we do have these idols. And again, it's a subconscious thing sometimes. We're not always aware of it, but we just want to be careful. And then Jesus said, the second commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do we love our neighbor as ourself? You know, and our neighbor is anybody. Our neighbor is anybody, any other person. Do I love them as myself? I don't know about you, but I don't sometimes. And love isn't a feeling. You don't have to feel good about your relationship with these people. But what you have to do, according to Jesus, is put their needs first. And praying for them would be one huge thing you can do. Not saying nasty things to them would be another. You know, we see a lot of that on social media, a lot of nastiness. Are we really loving other people? Sometimes it starts out with the best of intentions. I know it has in my life. And before you know it, I'm like getting mad at somebody because they're not listening to me or they're not responding. That's not really loving them. And remember, it's possible to love someone without feeling good about them. Or if you want to say it another way, it's possible to love them and not like them. that shouldn't be good enough. We should strive to see others as the Lord sees them. That requires work. You know, if I have a real hard time with somebody in life, and I can think of at least one person right now who is a very big challenge to me. There's actually a couple, but one is a very big challenge. Am I willing, and I really fail at this quite a bit. I have to be honest with you. Am I willing to sit down and, number one, ask the Lord to change my heart, to care more about them, to like them more? No, it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. Doesn't mean it's going to happen at all. But am I willing to at least ask him to do that and to really sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to help me think of all the good qualities that that person has, or to be able to imagine how much the Lord loves them? Sometimes these people annoy us so bad that we can't even do that. So really, it's something we want to consider. And we have to remember that loving God, loving other people, that is what the entire set of commandments is really all about. And that's really that should be the driving force behind our life. Now, let's look at the first reading, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Fear the Lord your God and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more, in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today." It's very simple. And you know, and that's, we see that ties in with the gospel. Love God with all you got. It means no idols. And this is something we got to work on. This is something that we have to really consciously make an effort to see. Do I have any idols in my life? And then that number two command, love other people. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 18. "I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praise be the Lord, I exclaim, and I am safe from my enemies. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Extolled be God, my Savior, you who gave great victories to your king and showed kindness to your anointed. I love you, Lord, my strength." In my new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, I break it down to three sections: loving God, or knowing God, loving God, and serving God. The whole loving God thing, or knowing God, we need to know about him before we can really enter into a deep and loving relationship with him. And that's the key. That the first, we got to get to know him. And then the next response is to love him. And sometimes what we do is we love him in our mind, which is where it starts. You start by loving God with your thoughts and making that choice to love him. But then it has to flow into actions. And in order to love God, our actions sooner or later have to involve other people in a positive way. So I can't love God by not going out. And somehow, if I can get out, or even if I can't get out of the house, I need to take some action to love other people. It could be through prayer, it could be through email, it could be through phone calls, or it could be going out and doing kind acts of charity for somebody. But I can't really say I'm loving God if it's just taking place in my mind. It starts in the mind, it has to. But what's internal has to flow outward at some point if we are truly going to be saying that we're loving God. Let's look at the second reading now. And as always, the second reading is not necessarily explicitly connected to the other readings, but let's see if we can find something in common. It's from Hebrews chapter 7. We've been reading from the letter to the Hebrews for the past several weeks. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. "Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he was always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests, but the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This particular passage from the letter to the Hebrews, it reflects on the priesthood of Jesus Christ and what a priest does. A priest offers sacrifices on behalf of the people to God. Now, ultimately, Jesus is the one true high priest who offers the most perfect sacrifice to God to make reparation for all of our sins. You know, he didn't have any sins that he was offering sacrifices for. He offered sacrifice for our sins. And, you know, I think the one connection that I'm seeing between this and the readings is Jesus makes intercession for us. He's that go-between, between you and me and the Father. And as such, we have to recognize that he is here. One of his functions is to deliver to reveal the Father to us, to show us who the Father is. To make this, to many people, this invisible, impersonal God, to make him personal and show us him as a loving Father. And in this gospel today, we saw Jesus very clearly telling us this. You know, this loving God with all you got message, that comes from the Old Testament. But now Jesus is saying, he's raising the bar. And he say, look, this is two most important commandments. Number one, love God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing so, he's acting as this go-between between us and the Father and letting us know this is what the Father expects of us. And this is possible because he would never ask us to do something that was impossible. It's possible with the help of the grace that he gives us. So just something to keep in mind. Please do not ignore this message. It's again, it's so easy to just lapse into a wishy-washy type of position on this. But this is tough stuff. But with the help of the Lord, it is possible. We are called to love God. And I would just ask you to, you know, think about this week. I know I'm going to. Do I have any idols in my life? Are there times when something or someone is more important to me than God? And if that's not the case, if God is most important, am I really willing to listen to him as voiced by what Jesus had to say? In other words, am I going to take seriously what Jesus said about loving God and loving others? Something to think about, okay? If you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Hope you have a fantastic week. If you're able to visit followingthetruth.com and possibly leave a donation for my ministry, I would be very grateful. I want you to know that you're going to be in my prayers. Please keep me in yours. And God willing, I look forward to being back with you once again next week on the Gary Zimak Show. Bye-bye now.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.